I know the weather has kept a lot of us in today, but we're going to worship together just the same this morning. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, if you'll pull those out this morning and turn with me to Isaiah chapter 9. This morning we're going to begin our Christmas series messages as we talk about that babe born in a manger. This morning specifically, I want to share with you six truths concerning that babe in a manger. Six truths concerning that babe in a manger. If you have your Bibles, I want to ask you, hold these up for just a second. I want to just make a point quickly. I'm so glad to see that you have your Bibles. Let me clarify something and say this. We're blessed to have these projectors and our scripture on the projectors every morning. But let me say this. The projector and the scripture that are on the projector will never take the place of the Bible. Amen? So please, if you don't have one, if you don't bring it, grab a Bible and bring it. I think it's there's something special about holding this Bible in your hand. It's very tangible. You can feel it. You can open it. You can see it. You can read it. This book is so important to who you and I are as believers. As a matter of fact, I want to share with you a truth that you may or may not know. Do you know that the Bible, out of all of the religions in the world, do you know that the Bible is the only religious book that has prophecy written in it? It's amazing that this book that you and I worship our God through, that we worship God in the flesh, these being His words, is the only religious book that has prophecy written in it. It's amazing. As a matter of fact, as you look at Isaiah, let me share this with you. Prophecy is something that was spoken and written before it ever happened. And where we find ourselves this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, do you know that it was written about 700 years before Christ was born? About 700 years before it was actually fulfilled, the scripture that we're going to be in today. That's the reason it's so important for you as we ask ourselves this question as we enter into this season. So many of us wait until we get to this point in the year before we ask ourselves about this babe in a manger, about this Jesus that was born. And I want you to begin to ask those questions on a regular basis. That's the reason I think it's so important for you to be able to take hold of one of these books and spend some time learning for yourself personally about this babe in a manger, so that you don't only have to hear it from the preacher. Very important that you open this book and you read and you learn for yourselves. I'm telling you, you're going to find some wonderful truths in there all on your own. God will begin to reveal those things to you. So please listen to me. I'm making a plea. If you do not have a Bible, please go get one. Or if you don't have one and you need one today, see me. I have one I want to give you. It's so important. I believe it's so important that you have this Bible, this Word of God as He spoke it to us. And this morning we're going to see some prophecy that has been or is being fulfilled or is going to be fulfilled this morning through this babe who was born in a manger, whose name is Jesus. Six truths I want to share with you. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be in verse 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 6 this morning. Will you follow along with me? The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, today, as we look into Your Word that was written by Isaiah over 2,700 years ago, I ask that you would begin now to speak to our hearts concerning the truth about Jesus Christ. That Lord, if there are those who are here this morning who are uncertain about this babe in a manger, that they would know today beyond a shadow of a doubt that you, King Jesus, are the one true God. That there is no other. That all other are false gods, because there is none who compare to you. And so today, Lord, we ask that as your word goes forth, that it'll not return void, but we pray, we ask that you and you alone would receive honor and glory, asking it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, as we look at into the scripture, really over the next few weeks, today and then the next couple of weeks, I want us to share things more in the atmosphere of family. Does that make sense? What I'm saying is, I think, let me try and share that a different way. When you come into here, I want to talk to you about the Word of God as though you were my next of kin, as though you were someone very dear to me, because I'm talking, I always want to do that. You understand that about me. I want to talk with you about the truths of the Word of God always. But over the next few weeks, specifically, as though you were going to come home and you were going to sit across the table and eat lunch with me or supper with me, I want you to be able to open the Word of God over the next few weeks, and I want you to see some spectacular things concerning Jesus, concerning this babe born in a manger that you and I worship daily. And so there are six truths concerning Jesus that I want to share with you this morning. And the first thing is this: as you look at the scripture, Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, number one point that I want to make with you today is that he brings light into darkness. King Jesus, understand that he brings light into darkness. Listen to what the scripture says. It says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. I think it's important this morning that you see the contrast. There's always a contrast in the Word of God between darkness, which is represented in this world that you and I live in by sin and unrighteousness, and light, which is represented by God's grace, God's mercy. It's represented by righteousness. And this morning, we're going to contrast those. As you look at the scripture with me, you're going to be able to see that difference, because there's always that representation in the Word of God, a difference between darkness that seems to perpetuate the world that you and I live in, and then light, who is Christ himself. We're going to see these things this morning. As a matter of fact, let me share with you, as we talk about King Jesus this morning, and we try and elaborate or even help you understand further about this babe born in a manger, he brings light into darkness. Understand, there was a point in history when God looked down from the throne room in heaven and he saw sin had grown and begun to ravage the world that you and I live in. And it had begun to get darker and darker as a result of sin that's in the world. And at that point, God had already knew what he was going to have to do. He knew what was going to take place. But God in heaven decided at some point, because of sin, that he was going to step down out of the glories of heaven into a sin-filled world. He was in heaven where there is no sin, and he's stepping down into a sin-filled world. And the scripture tells us in John, Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. And so this morning, I want you to understand that King Jesus, we're talking about, he brings light into darkness. How many of you have ever heard of seasonably affected depression? Have you ever heard of that? Do you know that this time of year is the most depressing time for many, many people? The reason, do you know, is because of the lack of light. There is a lot less daylight this time of year than there is any other time of year. And as a result, more people die this time of year than they do in any other time of the year. And it's called seasonably affected depression. And it's not a fun thing to have to deal with if you have any kind of depression at all. Do you realize the importance of the sun? We need it, amen? We need the sun. We need its power. We need the vitamin D that floods our bodies as a result of that light being in the sky. It's an important thing. I've got a friend who lived in Alaska. He was in the military, and he would share with me when he was in the military, it'd be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he would tell me, it's dark. It's dark. The sun is still out here. And he told me that from about 9 a.m. to just around that 3 p.m. mark is about all the sunlight they had from when he was there. And I don't know a lot about Alaska, but I do know that there are moments when it stays light longer or it stays dark longer. And so he would share with me about from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. After that, it was pitch black dark, which was amazing to me. And I want to share with you, that's not even the darkest place on the face of the earth. Did you know that it's a place in Austria called Rattenberg? And this place was a valley that sat in between two mountains. And the name of the mountain was called Mount Rat, believe it or not. But from November to February, there was no light at all that came up over the mountains. And this was a beautiful village in a beautiful setting, but people began to have, there was a mass exodus, and the village began to shrink and shrink and shrink because there was so much depression in this area from November to February. And so they got together just a few years ago, as a matter of fact, trying to decide what could they do to help people not feel so depressed during this time of the year. And they came up with an idea, and they put 60 mirrors on top of the mountain. And as the sun peaks up into the sky, just high enough that these mirrors reflect the sunlight back into this valley. They needed to see the light. They needed to experience it. As a result of that, I want you to know that attitudes have changed in that area, that people have begun to come back into the village and to live, and they're beginning to prosper once again. And it's an amazing thing when you and I sit down and we think about the importance of light in the world that we live in. Do you know that that's the very reason that King Jesus stepped down out of heaven? Because the world that you and I live in is full of darkness, and Jesus stepping down into this world that you and I live in, he brought light. So he stepped down from heaven into a sin-filled world where sin leads to death, and he brought the light of eternity. And I want you to understand, I want you to see the importance of him being light. And so we see this. This is what he brings to us. It says, the people who walked in darkness, that's past tense. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Can I share with you today that that light is King Jesus? And that's one of the truths that I want to share with you today. That babe born in a manger is the one who brought light into a dark world. Second thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Listen, we're going to move all the way down to verse 6 now. I want you to see this. It's so important that you get this. He rules the world. That's number 2. Do you realize that King Jesus rules the world? Read the scripture with me. It says this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the government should be upon his shoulders, or shall be upon his shoulders. Let me share something with you. I want you to realize the theological truth. Everything is on his shoulders. All of it. When he stepped down out of heaven, at that point, as a babe in a manger, understand, it was all placed on his shoulders. Listen to this. It even goes further than that. When he went to the cross, it was placed on his shoulders. Every bit of it is on his shoulders. Everything in the universe, everything that has been created is upon his shoulders. All of it. As you look at the Word of God and you see that it says that the government is upon his shoulders, I want you to know that scripturally, as we look at the Word of God, it means that he's king. Amen? He's king. And you think, well, he's not king today. He's really not ruling. And if he is king, he's not doing a good job. There are a lot of people who have that kind of mentality when it comes to God. But I want to share with you, that was the very question that the wise men asked. Where is this child born, king of the Jews? Even Pilate himself, he asked, are you a king? And Jesus, he had an answer for him. But even upon the cross, that there was this sign that said, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. The world has claimed that he was king, and I need you to understand today that yes, he is king. He's King Jesus. Jesus told Pilate, he said, yes, I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. I love that. But can I tell you, if you know the Word of God, you understand there is going to be a day when Jesus is going to return. And at that point, you're all going to recognize, the world is going to realize that Jesus is the true conquering king. That he isn't just someone that was told about, but all of the scripture will be fulfilled. All prophecy will be fulfilled concerning King Jesus. Yeah, I know that we look forward to that day. I know you know the song, Joy to the World. And we sing it. Cameron, you may have to help me with this. Okay, but it's, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Do you think we can sing that together? I know I can't do it by myself, but I think it's important. I want us to, can we try this? Warm them up. Oh, how do you do it, brother? Do, re, mi, fa, lo, sa. See, I can't do any of that. But listen, this is what I can do. I can lift up a joyful noise to my Lord, and I think we should try and sing this, just this one little verse right here. I have an advantage. I have it written down. But here we go. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove his righteousness and wonders of his love and wonders of his love. That's so good. That's a beautiful thing. Now, let me ask you a question. When our government meets today and they're having to wonder about how they're going to deal with a difficult decision, do you think they get together and say, hey guys, let's go get on our knees and ask King Jesus how he wants us to handle this? Do you think British Parliament, when they have a crisis and they're trying to decide what direction to go, do you think they say, hey, men, ladies, let's come, let's go get on our knees and let's ask King Jesus what he desires for us to do? Do you think that happens today? Yet you and I sing this song and we say that he rules the world with grace and love. And I think that's important for you to understand. That's not happening today, but the Bible teaches us that one day indeed that will be the case. And you and I look forward to that day. Amen? When my King Jesus returns, when your King Jesus returns, he will rule the world. And we praise God because his word, I believe it to be infallible and truth without any mixture of error. It's coming. It's going to happen. And that's the truth about this babe that's born in a manger. Third thing that I submit to you this morning is this. Listen, as we continue to go through verse 6, I need you to see and get this, that he meditates between God and man. King Jesus, he meditates between God and man. It says that the government will be upon his shoulders and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. He's called Wonderful Counselor. How many of you are familiar with a psychiatrist. Any of you are familiar? I'm not saying that you've gone to psychiatrists. I'm just saying you know what they do, right? You go and you sit with them and you tell them all of your problems. And they try and give you a solution, how you're going to fix those problems. They try and counsel you in the right direction. And I want to share with you that that's not at all, as you read this, what the Scripture is talking about. But I want you to know that this is important too, because the Word of God tells us that Jesus himself said to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. So it's important that you realize that King Jesus desires for you to bring those burdens to him. But when we look at the Scripture right here in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. It's really talking about a mediator or a lawyer. Or an advocate, like an attorney, someone who would take your case to the officials. And so King Jesus, for you, what he does is he listens to your case and he mediates between you and God in heaven. And it's important that you understand that's what Jesus does. And listen to me, when I tell you that he's your advocate, I want to make something clear this morning. When we hear that God is 50% man and 50% God, I need you to nix that right now. You need to forget about that. You need to do away with it because he's 100% God and he's 100% man. And as we look at the Scripture, what I need you to get is this. He's our only mediator according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture? There's one God. There's one mediator. And between God and men, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. God wants us to relate to him, doesn't he? He wants us to understand that he literally is God in the flesh. Listen, he died on the cross, right? But understand that he rose from the grave. Understand that he's alive and that he is Savior of the world. And he mediates between God and man. And he does that for you and for me. And I say that so that you can get and understand that no one else can do it. Nobody else can mediate between God and man. No one else other than the man God, Jesus Christ. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He's both God in the flesh and he was man in the flesh. Friends, can I tell you this? He's still all God. Amen. Amen. Fourth thing that I submit to you this morning as we continue on in the Scripture is this, and that is that he is God in the flesh. The Scripture calls him Wonderful Counselor, but then it says this, Mighty God. Wow. Mighty God. El Shaddai. Mighty God. El Shaddai. He is the Almighty God. Let me share with you a scripture in Colossians chapter 1. It says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him, in Christ Jesus, dwells all the fullness. Literally what happened is God put on flesh in the form of Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem. He is God in the flesh. Let me share a story with you. There was a Sunday school teacher. She gave her children an opportunity to create their own Sunday school, their own Christmas play, their own Christmas production. And that can be a dangerous thing, can it, when you allow the children to put on their own Christmas program all by themselves. And so one little girl said, I'll be Mary. Another little boy said, I'll be Joseph. Couple of other children said they would be wise men, and it went on and on, and there was one left, one child in the classroom. He didn't say anything, and teacher went over to him and said, well, Billy, who will you be? Billy, you'll like this, brother. He said, well, I'll be the doctor who delivers him. Isn't that good? And the teacher didn't want to say, no, you can't be the doctor who delivers him. So she allowed him to be the doctor who delivered baby Jesus. And so during the play, they were in the manger scene and everybody was doing their part. And then they went over behind in a stall so that they couldn't be seen. And here comes the doctor holding this baby. And he comes out from around the stall and he says, Mary, congratulations. You've got a God. Wow, God in the flesh, King Jesus, God in the flesh. Do you believe that? Do you believe it, that he is God in the flesh? Yes, we believe that. I think that's a very cute story, but it's packed with such truth, isn't it? Can you imagine being the one who delivered baby Jesus? Can you imagine? To have been the first one to have held him in your arms. Can you imagine that? Mary, congratulations. It's the God. Amen. Jesus is the God. The fifth thing that I submit to you this morning is he welcomes us into his family. Get this, he's wonderful counselor, he's mighty God, but he's everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. He's the forever Father. And I want you to get that. This word for Father, it's a family name, isn't it? When you think about it, it's what it is. I'm not called Father at home. I'm called Dad or Daddy. It really depends on what kind of mood the children are in. But we call God our Heavenly Father. He is our Father. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that he literally says that we can relate to God like a child relates to his father. And if you know anything about God, and if you know anything about scripture, then that should be a beautiful picture to you. Because God's greatest desire is to be in that intimate relationship with you in such a way that you're able to call him Abba Father. That's his desire. That's what he wants from you ever since the moment. Even as a babe in a manger, you have to understand that even at that point, he was still God the Father. And people say, but he was a babe. But he was a babe from everlasting. Do you understand that? He's forever. There is never a time, listen to me, there is never a time when Christ Jesus has not existed. Scripture tells us that in John. In the beginning was the Word, right? And so everything that is created through Jesus Christ. And God says this, as he's talking about, I know some people have a misguided view of what a real father looks like. I mean, they don't really get it. They have bad fathers or fathers who weren't able to be a part of their lives for whatever reason. And as a result of that, they can't really visualize God as a father. But what God's desire is that you forget about how bad we do things. And you realize how good God does things. And that even if you can't look at a picture of a man this side of heaven and call him a father because he's not been the father figure in your life, what I want you to be able to do is forget about all of that and lean on the everlasting arms of King Jesus, who wants to relate to you as a child relates to a father. That's the kind of relationship he wants. That's what he desires. And then the final thing that I submit to you this morning as we talk about the six truths concerning this babe in a manger, the last thing is this, is he brings peace to troubled hearts. Wow. Isn't that good? He brings peace to troubled hearts. Listen to the scripture. Everlasting Father, yes, but he's the Prince of Peace. King Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What does that mean to you? As you begin to think about that, what does it mean, Prince of Peace? What is the meaning of that? You know, the angels from heaven brought that message to the shepherds. And they said, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So does that mean that we're all going to live in peace? Does that mean that there's never going to be any problems, ever going to be any issues? Is that what this means, that he brings peace to troubled hearts? Is that what we think about? And so does it mean that there's never going to be fights or wars or problems or arguments? Is that what this means? No, not really at all what it means. As a matter of fact, this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 6. And most of you know this. It says, you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. We hear about these things. And it's heartbreaking. But ultimately, what King Jesus' desire is for you and for me is that this peace on earth and goodwill toward men, God desires that you be in that relationship with him in such a way that he brings peace to your troubled heart. You. It's about this peace. It's about understanding God's greatest desire is that you have peace with him. He is the Prince of Peace. Yes, there's going to be a day. There's going to be a day, Brad. There's going to be a day when there's complete and total peace on the face of this earth. Amen. We look forward to that day, spending it with King Jesus for all of eternity. We look for that day. But until then, God desires you to have peace with him. And the question today remains is, do you have that kind of a peace with God? Do you have that peace where you can say that you're not at war or you're not at odds with God? That's what the scripture means right here in verse 6, the very last of it. He's wonderful counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. God says this. He says, I want to have peace with you. I want to show my goodwill, my favor, my grace towards you. That's what God the Father says. It's what he desires for you. Listen to me in closing. That's what Christmas is all about. It's not so much about a babe in a manger. Listen, it's about a Savior. And today we gather together. We worship week after week. Why? Not because of the babe in a manger, but because of the Savior who was born in a manger. I share six truths with you today concerning this babe in a manger. And we're going to go through them just quickly one last time. And as you understand that he brings light into darkness. And he rules the world. He mediates between God and man. He is God in the flesh. Friends, there's no doubt, there's no disputing this. He welcomes us into his family as a loving father. And then finally, he brings peace to troubled hearts. As we close this morning, let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God today? Where are you in your relationship with this babe in a manger? Where are you in relationship to this Savior who stepped down out of the glories of heaven and allowed himself to be born in a stall? Where are you in relationship to King Jesus? Is he your Savior today? As you prepare, as you draw closer to Christmas, as you buy one gift after another, let me remind you, Christmas is about receiving the greatest gift that has ever or could ever be given. And that's to accept the gift of salvation that Jesus Christ alone offers to all of those who would confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we want to praise you. We want to honor you. We want to salute you for being God. We want to say thank you. We want to say we praise you for stepping down out of heaven, for ruling the world, for bringing light into darkness. We want to save you for being God. We want to praise you for being God in the flesh. We want to praise you for being the everlasting Father. We I want to praise you today for being the Prince of Peace. Lord, today I ask that if there's even one here who's at odds, if there's even one here who has never received salvation through the name of Jesus, through the precious blood of Jesus, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. And Father, that you and you alone would be honored and glorified. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, I want to ask you to stand this morning. And I know we're slim in number, but this is what I want to ask you to do. I know that there are people in your lives. We're drawing closer to that December the 25th where we wake up and we're so excited about the presence. But since it's just us here this morning, this is what I want to ask you to do. We're going to have a baptism in just a minute, and Kyle and the family are going to go over there. If you want to go on and go now, you can. If you want to stay and be a part of I'm going to ask the congregation to do. Matter of fact, that's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to stay and be a part of it. That's what I want to ask you to do. If you know there are people in your life, in your lives this morning who's never trusted Jesus as Savior, this is what I want to ask you as a congregation. I want to ask you to pray where you are. I want you to come flood the altar, however you choose to do that. But this is what I ask during our invitation time today for Christmas this year, that you would think of someone specific. You would ask God to lay somebody on your heart right now you know who hasn't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And this year, that they would receive the greatest gift ever. Will you commit to that prayer with me every day until Christmas? Every day. Let's do this the next 3 weeks. Will you commit to praying that prayer specifically about a specific individual between now and Christmas? I want to see how God answers this prayer. I do. It's a challenge. And here's the thing. If God begins to lay this on your heart about specific individuals, then I believe God will also burden you to talk with those individuals about Jesus. And so the challenge is yours. I'm laying this at your feet. And so if you'll commit to praying that prayer, I want you to taking that challenge for the next 3 weeks every day, praying for those individuals, that specific someone God lays on your heart. You make that commitment. That's between you and God, okay? It's not something that I need to know about, but it's between you and God. But if you make that commitment, I want you to make it, and I want you to do it every single day. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, join us in our invitation time. Would you come this morning?